ready? So you've heard Mr. Patrick Shaw's in the house, right? Yes. For those of you that have been using the greatlegalbenefit.com, the greatworkplan.com, two of the greatest exposure tools that we have, this is the individual that put those together, Mr. Patrick Shaw. So he's serving many of you. And you can you not hear me? We need more volume, more volume. We good, 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 good. Just put it right there. All right, there we go. Can you hear me now? All right. So I shared this story earlier. Mr. Shaw wasn't here, but I just want him to hear it, that when my brother Jeff showed me a video, it made sense to me, but I wanted to kick the tires. I wanted to see what Legal Shield looked like. I wanted to meet the leaders, and the first leader that I met was in Dallas, Texas. He was running the event there. I met Mr. Shaw. I sat in the front row and listened to the presentation. And it really resonated with me, his style, his leadership, his vision. And I made a decision to get started. Just kind of a funny story, Patrick. One day I didn't have the money to get started, but so I kept coming as a guest. You remember this? I kept coming as a guest, right? But we were bringing guests. And so it was growing and growing and growing. And all my brothers, they had all gotten started, and they were bringing guests. So we would show up with like 10 people, 12 people. And I had my guest tag on, right? Guest tag is different color than associate tag. Well, if you're an associate, you have to pay $10 to pay for the facility, right? So Mr. Shaw pulls me aside and says, hey, man, come on. You know, you got to have integrity if you're going to build this business right. And I'm like, what do you mean? And he goes, you got to pay $10. Somebody's got to pay for the hotel. You know, this is coming out of my pocket. And I said, well, aren't guests free? And he said, yeah. And I go, well, I'm a guest. Come on, man, you're not a guest. We both know. But I was a guest. But it was a tribute to his presentation. Again, his style, his vision that kept me coming out week after week, even though I wasn't an associate yet, and bringing guests because I wanted them to see his presentation and, you know, his way, how he does the business. So I remember early on sitting down with him and saying, how do you structure your business as you start recruiting people? You know, where do you put them? As I went to my first training, you know, he was the trainer there. And so this is an individual who not only has made millions and millions of dollars in the company, but he's helped so many other people earn six figures and multiple six figures and millions of dollars. People on his team and people not on his team. He's somebody who serves regardless. He's a multi-million dollar earner in the company, the regional vice president of the state of Colorado. All right. And my good friend of yours, y'all, please give it up. Let's give him a Utah welcome, Mr. Patrick Shaw.
How's Utah? You're supposed to have the warm weather for me. I left this cold weather. It was supposed to be warm here. Well, listen, I was glad to be able to fill in, and sorry I'm late. I won't beat up the airline, but if I did, I would say it was United. And I told them when they booked it, I'm like, you know, you got like a 50% chance of them not leaving on time, which they didn't. I shouldn't have put it out there, I guess. But but I'm going home on Southwest, so it'll be on time. Listen, I'm, you know, ironically, I wasn't planning on doing an event. And, you know, so I just really got to thinking about, you know, what we train on, which was pretty simple because I've been thinking about the same thing for weeks, though, personally, at home. You know, Chris and I have been talking about kind of the core of my conversation this morning for weeks, not intending on being here at all. And I've got to tell you, I'm really excited about it. I mean, just on a personal level, because I think it's the thing that can flat out explode recruiting. Is there some feet? Are we okay on the mic? Yeah? This sounds like I'm hearing it twice, but we're good? Okay. It's the thing that really can explode recruiting, and it's kind of a missing link that we've had lately. I'm not a person to believe in secrets, but I kind of think right now in Legal Shield there is a secret. You know, and what is a secret? It's a thing that nobody knows. They should maybe know, but nobody seems to know, that will flat out explode every division in this company. I don't care how many people want to build a bigger group book of business. More CDLP people, more small business. You want superstars in social media. You want to build all that, right? Well, we're going to talk about how you can do that. And it may not be in the fashion you think, but you can grow this business faster than you've ever dreamed of growing it before. And when I started, and I'll give you my quick 2-minute story, and I don't want to take a lot of time with it because we've got a lot of, you know, I'm going to try to make it fun and kind of light or whatever, but it's a little bit deeper from a material perspective. And I hope you have a pen and paper, and I hope you'll take some notes, because I promise you, if you get this, if you really get this, this market will explode. And it is a missing link. It's a secret. It's how I started my business. I was the broke guy. I was $37,000 in credit card debt. I'm living in Dallas, Texas, right? And I didn't get started. I mean, how long have you been in the business, Chris?
14 years.
14 years. So I didn't get started that much before Mr. Hughes did. And I really needed him to pay for that briefing, and I thought 2 months was enough. I'm going to put my gum somewhere. But I'm teasing. But I was broke. I mean, I remember those days. You know, I had this junker Volkswagen Jetta that had that light that stared at the pavement, except when I literally duct taped it to the hood of my car. Right? And I remember going to the Volkswagen dealership to buy the little $13 bracket, and the guy slid the little plastic clip across the table, said $13. And I remember the words came out of my mouth, and I said, man, I'm not buying that out of principle. That's when you know you have no money. When you won't spend $13 to hold the headlight of your car up. Okay? But that's where I was, right? In the first year, earned $55,000 in income. The power of this business is you can take a part-time person working 7 to 12 hours a week, and you can give them a way to go from $55,000 to $125,000. And that's what happened to my income. Can you imagine? I mean, you know, $55,000 to $125,000, that changes your life. And I was excited the first year because that $55,000, it was mine in a sense. It was my own business. I'd always dreamed of being a business for myself. That wasn't a job where they were paying me $55,000. That was my own business. Well, the third year, so it went from $55,000 to $125,000 to $225,000. Now, the third year, I moved from Dallas, which we never intended on being there long term, and I moved to Denver, Colorado, and earned $225,000, and there were 90 days there I really didn't work. We had moved, I bought this old house, we had a whole construction crew in there, and the fourth year was almost $300,000 in income. Now, how do how does something like that happen? How do you have that kind of growth? And that's what we're going to talk about. And my story wasn't unique. There were tons of those people doing the same kind of stuff. Chris Hughes did the same kind of thing. I remember going to one of the events and being annoyed because I made $100,000. I'm getting my ring. I think, man, I killed it, right? I mean, nobody touched this. And I'm standing in line, and there were people that made $50,000 to $100,000 more than I had in the same period of time, and they're being recognized at $250,000. And I was like at $125,000. I'm like, what? Huh? My point is, it was happening all over the place. And it was happening without all these incredible things that are going on today. How do you explain that? That doesn't make sense. Now, I feel like I'm going to have to throw a few caveats in here. Everything's better today, except one thing. Everything. I mean, all the divisions, they're all better. The leadership better. The management's better. The camaraderie of the people in the field are better. I mean, everything, the level of professionalism we're recruiting, retention is up. Production per associate is up. Everything's better except one thing. You know what it is? Recruiting. Recruiting is not up. And specifically, duplication's not up. Because we're actually recruiting okay, but the way recruiting really goes up is it duplicates. A recruit can get a recruit who gets a recruit, okay? And for some people, you're like, well, I just want to do group. And look, if you're just focused on group in here today, that's fine. Just hear the message. And there's a certain number of people that need to hear this message, and you need to carve them out and put them in an environment where they can hear this message. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. So we're going to talk about how to make that happen here, and I'm working on the same thing in Colorado, and it is a missing link. And you know how this came about? And listen, have you ever been in a place in your life where what you currently know, right, may be less than what you know in total sum because you've been in that field for so long? Like what you currently know is a smaller part of what you've known over the history because you happen to be in that industry for so long. Does that make sense? Right? I mean, I think I know less. I may know less today than I knew because there's 15 years or 17 years in network marketing. You learn a lot. You forget a lot of stuff. You learn new stuff. So the composite sometimes of what you know isn't the whole because we all forget things. Does that make sense? The scary part is when what you forget is better than what you currently know.
Yeah.
That's scary. Now, some of you don't know what I'm talking about right now. But MidOcean came on board, and I spent a year and a half knowing things that were not nearly as good as what I knew my first 3 years in the business. Really. And I'm working hard in Denver. I'll tell you some of that story, but we're lighting it up. We're top five in recruiting, not just per capita, but nationwide. We only got 5.2 million people in Colorado, and our recruiting numbers are going up, and they're going up, and I'm on this track, this treadmill, for a year and a half. And then about 4 months ago, 3 or 4 months ago, I dust off this old binder from when I was in the business in the very beginning. And how many people know the name Paul Meyer? And I'm not going to go through this whole story. I'm just going to tell you, I've been on Paul's Learjet to the Caymans, stayed at his house. He's passed away. But Paul built the Legal Shield business. He got his income to over $2 million a year in his business. 50% of it still goes to charitable organizations. It was one of 40 companies he owned in a little tiny fraction of what Paul had generated in income. But Paul was a guy that at 25 years of age, in 1953, he earned $750,000 in personal income by recruiting, training, developing, motivating, building sales forces, and moving in an insurance product. Well, is everybody with me? I mean, think. And look, I'm not talking about money for the sake of money. I'm talking about money as a person who created value. This guy knew how to create value. And so he led an extraordinary life, and you'll have to go look him up sometime on Google, Paul J. Meyer, just an incredible guy. But anyway, Paul understood this business, and he comes into the business, and immediately he calls it the missing link. He goes, man, you guys are missing something here. As a matter of fact, I'm going to show you this one flyer here. So I dust off this old binder. Now, what Paul did was Paul created these flyers for us, and let's just shrink it down a little bit here. I know you can't read that. Okay, we'll just slide through it. So, So Paul wrote these flyers, and every week he'd send out one of these flyers. And I can't remember now if it's every week or every month. And they were pretty cool because he'd just say, look, here's the business, and he'd put his concept in this flyer. Now, here's something, just a complete side note I'm going to tell you about that I'll do. is that I put all these on a graphic, and what we did in Colorado is we said, listen, if you show up to a weekly briefing, you can print these out. And the benefit of that is, let me tell you the whole concept real quick, and then I'll get them to Chris and to George. But at the weekly briefing, sometimes we have a hard time getting people to show up the way they should show up. I took these flyers when I started my business, and I sounded so smart. And Paul didn't mind if I plagiarized. So when people were struggling with some aspect of the business, whether it was belief or recruiting or prospecting or understanding the ratio or whatever, he had a flyer for every one of them. So I would just flip to the page where the person was having the problem, and I got to use the wisdom of Paul J. Meyer, a guy who, you know, eventually became a billionaire and all this stuff. And I got to use his wisdom and his words, and I internalized it in the process. And I was just reading. I mean, I'd read it. I'd say, hey, Chris, listen, here's the challenge. And I'd start reading Paul's words. And when you read things like that and you're repeating them and coaching somebody else, who's the biggest benefactor? It was me, man. I was learning the business. My verbiage was coming together and all of that. So it was really powerful. So if you had your own binder, I can't tell you what this thing is worth, because it turned on the light bulb for me. It made me remember the things that I did that created all the momentum that I seemingly had forgotten completely. And I feel like it was Paul guiding my hand. I'm dusting that thing off one day, and I'm like, oh, look at that. And I start flipping through the pages, and I'm like, well, that'd be a good idea. Well, I forgot about that. That's a good idea. Right? And we're seeing the impact right now. I'm so excited about it. It's crazy. So anyway, I'm gonna let you see this first one, right? He says, I'd rather be a master prospector than a wizard of speech and have no one to tell my story to. This is the first letter. He says, never to be dependent on leads. How would you like to wake up? He said, I set a goal. He set a goal to be never to be dependent on leads. Never to be dependent on leads from the company. Never to make cold calls. And never to be appointment broke each morning. Now, I set up an office, and if you guys have an office, I'm not knocking any of that, but I set up an office in Denver. And that means I got overhead and all the stuff that comes with it, not employees, but all the stuff that comes with it. And we're calling resumes, and we're doing Craigslist, and we're doing all this recruiting stuff. And then I'm reading this thing, and Paul's like, never to do any of those things. And then he goes through and says, here's my credentials for sharing proven information about prospecting. And he goes through his story, right? And it's just extraordinary, and you'll get it. And then, there it is. And he goes down to the bottom here, and he says, suffice to say, my ideas in this prospecting series are not experiments, nor are they trial ideas. These ideas work. They have been time-tested and proven to be a method, the best method, to always have leads. This information is for one purpose and one purpose only. You can trust me, and you can trust the information. I guarantee you that it will work, and it will work this system. And if you will work this system, you will see it unfold in this series. Now, here's what we're going to do with the newsletter. So in Denver, I said, okay, if you show up to briefing, I'll bring you the flyer for the newsletter, right? And if you're there, you get it at the training after the training. And I left it posted for that week on our team call as well. And you had to be on the team call, and you could print it out that week, and then it was gone. And there's like 50 of these newsletters. And some people say, well, just give it all to me. And I was like, no, you're going to pay a price for it. You're going to show up, because that's part of the business. So I'll get them all to Chris and George, and then I'm sure they'll put a program in place of their design. And if you show up, you can get all of them. But I'm going to give you the capsulated version, which is not nearly as good as having every flyer trained on individually. But I am going to paint the whole picture here of how you can take those ideas and what I had forgotten. And I'm telling you that, obviously, with all the humility in the world, because I don't care where you are in the business. You can forget how incredibly easy it is, right? So let's talk about that. Is everybody in? Are you with me now? I just want to tell you that this isn't somebody standing in front of you and saying, you know, I think this is a good idea. We should try this. It works. It's been tested. There are no two questions about it. There's no question about it. And if you don't believe me, believe Paul Meyer. Because he's a guy that got to $2 million a year in Legal Shield. Or didn't even get recognized for it. I don't even know what he makes. You're one of the top income earners ever, if not the top, or two, or I don't know, right? I mean, I get what I'm saying. They just don't recognize him for it. But everybody you know, Brian Carruthers and Dave and all those guys, I mean, Darnell and all those guys, that's all part of that lineage, right? But you don't ever hear his name. He's a guy that knew how to build this business. Everybody with me? Okay, so let's talk about it here. And the first thing, whoops, we're going to talk about is this model that we have. And it's important that you understand the model. 95%, and listen, this is interactive. If you disagree with any of this, I want you to raise your hand. I want you to comment because I need to make sure everybody gets this, all right? 95% of the people that get started in this business are part-time. They're not full-time. They don't join and go, okay, I'm full-time. Is everybody with me on this?
Yes.
And I don't care if you call it 90. You can call it 90 if you want, or you can call it 98. Either way, you get the idea. It's the majority of all people. They're part-time, which means they can put in about 7 to 12 hours a week. And their goal is, or should be, even if they want to make loads of money, you got to make 1,000 before you can make 10,000 a month. And if you can get them making 500 to 1,000 a month, and you can get that person doing it in 7 to 12 hours a week on a part-time basis, and that's 95% of all the people that we get started. That's how I started. That's how Chris started. Just needed to make some extra money. It took me 3 months to quit my job, and then I went full-time. And that's generally the story of most of the top income earners, 95% of all of them. They didn't jump in full-time. All the big income earners, maybe there's a couple exceptions, but they weren't full-time out of the gate. Is everybody with me on this?
Yes.
Okay. So I'm going to give you a test real quick. I'm going to tell you about three prospects. And we're going to call the first prospect Sally. And Sally is, well, I just have to remember my notes. Okay, Sally is an ex-corporate executive who has two kids. Very professional. She's now a homemaker. She's taking care of the children at home. And she'd like to do something and generate some income. Very sharp, corporate America background. As a matter of fact, she was in HR. Okay? The second person is Adam. And Adam is a college student. Just got out of school. He's looking for full-time work immediately, and he got a business degree, and he's hungry and motivated and wants to go full-time in something right away. And then there's Mary, okay? Mary is, and just keep all these in your head for a second. Mary had a job for about a year. She's a receptionist for one of the biggest brokers in Utah. And she's not happy, though, and she's looking for something that she can do to generate some income. Now, we have two presentations coming up in Utah. One presentation is for the professionals. It's anybody who's, you know, interested in broker, HR, group benefits, small business, that type of thing. Professional, right? And the next day is the 7 to 12 hours a week part-time networker luncheon, right? Now, we're going to call Sally, Adam, and Mary, we're going to call them Sam, right? Well, we'll do that in a minute. Which event do you invite them to? If you invite them to the professional event, brokers, insurance agents, real estate, whatever, you know that story, right? Or do you invite them to Friday, the networking event? Raise your hand if you invite them to Thursday. Well, any one of them. Any one of them. Any one of them. Okay. Raise your hand if you invite them to Friday. Raise your hand if you're not going to invite them. I mean, not raise your hand. Raise your hand if you're not going to raise your hand. Okay. All right. Listen. And I probably shouldn't even do that because I'm not trying to shame anybody. Therein lies the problem in our business. That is, I mean, I'm telling you, that is where we're missing it. When I go to an event and 100% of the people raise their hand and say, I'm going to invite them to Friday, the networking luncheon, then we got it. Right? Listen, Mary worked for, she's a receptionist for a broker. That doesn't mean she knows squat about being a broker. Right? That's a full-time job. You can't call on brokers. Do you know the learning curve to be able to intelligently talk to a broker? I can really intelligently talk to a broker because I spent a year being off track, completely immersed in learning to talk to brokers, which was the stupidest thing I ever did. I want a monster business of brokers, but you know how I'm going to get it? By recruiting. A simple, duplicatable system of recruiting. That's how I'm going to build the bigger broker business. Not by going to the broker. But anyway, I'm really good now at talking to a broker. And for those of you who aren't, you wouldn't believe the learning curve to properly talk to a broker. You have no idea. People come to me and it's like, well, I'm going to approach this broker. I'm like, why don't you just jump in shark-infested waters and cut yourself before you do it? I mean, it's hard. I'm telling you it's hard. Group benefits. Some of you are out doing group, and you're wondering if I should be doing group. If you're wondering if you should be doing group, you probably shouldn't be. Okay? Now, I don't mean to be too hard on any of these. I want a huge group business. I want a massive business. I want all that stuff. But we're going to talk about how you get it, how you're going to create more time, more freedom. And I think too many associates don't begin with the end in mind. That they're running off in a division that basically is a job, like group benefits. I mean, that's a lot of work. I got a guy on my team that's marketed 11,000 memberships, and he desperately wants to recruit. He just can't ever seem to find the time to recruit because he's busy marketing memberships. Now, there's nothing wrong with that if that's the life you want to build. But I think most people, if you sat them down, they'd say, you know what? I'm ambitiously lazy. I would like to create leverage, build an organization where I get paid, whether I'm working or not. And the irony of that is, it's the easiest part of the business to do. It's the absolute easiest. I mean, I'm telling you, it's easy. It is hard to discipline yourself, but it's really easy to do. Being really good at group is hard to do. I mean, it just is. That is a skill set that is much more difficult. Okay? And again, I'm going to keep saying this. I want a lot of group in my business. And I'm telling you today how to get it, because some of you will not hear the message I'm actually delivering. You'll think, he's anti-group. No, I'm not. I want a huge group book of business. Right? So, if you buy into this idea, right, that this is our model. And by the way, our comp plan is designed in two ways. One, that you can go out and you can do group. You can move up through production. The other is a network marketing model. Well, it's designed that way. So if we know that 95% of people part-time 7 to 12 hours a week, and that's a target, then you better, and we use this word so loosely, you know, everybody thinks they know what it means, that then you better have a business that duplicates. And what that means is that every single thing that you do is something that just about anybody can repeat. Is everybody? I know this sounds so basic, but I'm telling you, if we all understood this, everybody would have got that question right in the beginning. Because all three of those people I told you about, you know, one is the kid in college. He's got no business jumping into group benefits. He doesn't have the skill set. He'll burn him out before he even gets started because he won't make any money. The learning curve is too steep. Is everybody with me?
Yeah.
So you sit that kid down and go, no, you're going to be part-time. You need to go find some job. And over the next year to two, we're going to build something that you'll never have to have a job in your life again. That homemaker with a professional background that came from HR, she just wants to make some part-time money. You know where this story came from? I'm in St. Louis a week and a half ago. I meet this woman at Starbucks. She's super professional. And she's making $150,000 a year and had all the identity theft background and some group benefits and one thing or another. And I said, look, have you ever, we had a great philosophical conversation about life and kids and one thing or another at Starbucks. And I said, listen, you know, I'm here on some business. Our company's expanding. Have you ever considered doing anything for yourself independently? She goes, well, yeah, but, you know, I make a lot of money. I got the kids. It's just a hard transition to do anything like that. And then I went to the meeting on Saturday. I told everybody the story, and I said, which luncheon event would have you invited her to? Now, on Thursday, they had 29 people at the professional luncheon. And on Friday, for the networking luncheon, they had two guests. So the whole market is so busy. And I said, who would you invite her to? And almost, you guys did way better. That was only 50-50. That market, the whole room said I'd invite to Thursday. And I'm like, you didn't hear me. Did you hear me? Yeah, I used the word professional, but I told you she can't go full time. I told you. So why are you going to put her in a part of the business she can't do? And 95% of people can't do it. So why are you inviting them to jump in the shark-infested waters? It doesn't make any sense. But immediately they go, well, she's professional. That's professional. And I said to the group, I said, so my Friday presentation was not professional. So Thursday I was professional, and Friday I failed to be professional. That didn't even make sense. Now, maybe you have a stigma in your mind about network marketing. And I know, Saul, listen, would everybody here agree that this market is unique? Well, they tell me the same thing everywhere I go. If I go to Louisiana, it's a unique market. Jersey is a unique market. So just in case you're thinking, oh, but you don't know this market, Patrick. Yeah, I do. I promise, I do. They're all unique markets. Everybody in that market is unique. And they all think they're unique, and you just don't understand because you don't understand the Mormon thing here. No, I get it. I promise you, I get it. And what I'm going to show you is plenty professional. Will you churn some people in what I'm about to show you who won't be interested in this model? Yes. Goodbye. See you later. It's not for you. That's okay. Is everybody with me?
Yes.
Man, we have an awesome business model. And some people don't get it. And that's okay. We're not like the other companies because we got a real product. But I don't need to try and jam groups, small business, and all that down their throat to convince them that we're not like everybody else. The product alone is good enough that I'll either explain that and I'll get it or they won't. Okay? Now I'm getting ahead of myself. All right? Any questions so far? All right. So it's got to duplicate. That's the bottom line. It's got to duplicate. All right? I see a lot of faces like, oh, I'm trying to absorb this, but I'm not sure. Okay. All right, listen. So, this was one of those eye-opening ones for me. I'm going to show you one more flyer from this series here. And this one just shook me because I knew better. Paul talks about categorizing prospects on this particular flyer. He says you categorize your prospects. And a D prospect, how many people got D's in school like me? D's. They're not good. That's not that good. Not that good. A D prospect is a lead, including the lead you get from the company. Now, you should call them, yes. And Paul's not saying never use a lead. He's just saying it's D. Okay? He's not against it. It's okay. I'll probably do some of that in my future too. But I understand it's a D. You know why it's a D? It doesn't duplicate. Let me give you a list of names and you try to call cold that list of names for a resume. That is a skill set that is difficult to accomplish. And there are people that will make $100,000 a year in Legal Shield and they still don't have the skill set. If I give them a resume to call and try to turn that into showing up at a weekly briefing, they still can't do it. Everybody with me?
Yep.
It's a skill set. A C prospect is a referral from somebody who's neither a member nor a recruit. A B prospect is your warm market. It's your warm market. An A prospect is an associate or a member. He says member, but Paul sometimes mixed up the terminology, trust me, because I asked him personally. It's an associate or a member. It's their referral. That is your A prospect. Right? He's talking about these are prospects for you. Your A prospect is your new recruit or member's referrals. That's an A prospect. It's as good as it ever gets. And that's how you'll never have to cold call again. People talk about, well, I've run out of people to talk to. Okay, you may have to do something. You may have to get a new recruit. But you understand when you get a recruit, they've got a list. And I'm not going to get into GWP Connect today, but I will tell you this. How many of you are familiar with it or using it?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. If you're not, you should talk to one of those people that raise their hands. Here's the power of it, okay? And I'm just going to tell you one little, that's my phone, one little significant piece about, we'll just see if it goes away. So one significant piece, and it's probably the single most important piece, okay? I mean, the autoresponders rock and the personalization and the pages, the personalized pages and all that stuff is really cool. But its single greatest benefit to the new person is it seems easy. You mean all I got to do is download this free app and I can hide behind this phone and call some people and tell them I'm going to send them an email and put the name in here? That's all you need me to do in the beginning? Yes, that's all we need to do in the beginning. And then I can get a list. How many people have ever had a challenge getting a list? Well, if you show them a platform they can use, that's the greatest aspect of that tool, is people get excited if it's sold properly, and you should sell it. Man, look, it's free. We're going to download it. You're going to load a bunch of names. We're going to make the phone calls. Now you've got a list of A prospects. That's your list. And you say, well, how do I get to them? Well, if you don't have enough rapport to sit down with the person and say, hey, log into your back office. Let's take a look at the names. And if they got zero names, you go, oh, come on, Bob, are you serious? Let's knock this out together, man. I'll help you. Let's get a list. All you got to do is call them up and say, hey, I'm going to send you an email, right? It's coming your way. Will you look at it for me? Yes. Then you put the name in. That's all they've got to do. I'm starting a business. You probably won't be interested. I know. I want you to know what I'm doing. I've got a service that'll save you a lot of time, money, frustration, blah, blah, blah. Whatever it is, I'm going to put your name in. And boom, we start collecting a database. That's your A list. And that's how you can never get to your own warm market. I haven't called 90% of my own warm market. I'm serious. 90%. I haven't gotten to. Because you've got an unlimited list. And the only time I get to my warm market is when I'm starting a new line of business. But people get all caught up and, oh, you got to talk to all your friends and family. Not really. I'm going to talk to somebody else's friends, family, and neighbor. And we're going to talk to, and if it's done properly, nobody ever gets to their whole warm list. Does that make sense? I mean, if you really get this, you don't ever, that's the funny part. I mean, people think this business is, you got to beat up your friends, family, and neighbor. No, you don't. If you get the business, it's all about helping somebody else and then helping somebody else and then helping somebody else. That's how we got an organization of 200,000 associates, and I've recruited 130 lifetime in 15 years. Now, I used to not tell that number because I'm thinking, man, people are going to think, you suck, dude. 130. Well, you don't have to recruit that many people. Because you're always helping somebody else. And I'm sitting there reading this from Paul, and I'm like, holy, I'm just like, really, are you that dense, Patrick? It took you that long to come back around to how this business works. Is everybody with me? Okay. Are there any questions? Are you following me, or is this, have I lost some of you, honestly? Am I losing some folks? Okay. All right. A little? Okay. So here's the duplication part. And we don't have a ton of, let me speed up here a little bit. Okay? So one in this process is you need prospects. Okay? And the short of getting prospects is use GWP Connect or something and get a list, and you're focused on warm market, all right? A, B, C, and D prospects. Number two skill that you need, and this is our business, all right? Contacting and inviting. And I think this will help, and I know my writing's not very clean, but I'm going to show you. This is we're going to talk about the model right here inside this little ugly circle. And outside of this circle is small business. It's group. It's CDLP. It's even social media. All this social media stuff is cool, but how many people in this room have more than 100 names in your Facebook, Twitter, all combined? Raise your hand. Raise them high if you have more than 100 names. What would you guys say? That's 50% of the room? Okay, that's great. And would you agree 100 is not a lot? How many of them have more than 500 names? Keep your hand high, 500 names. If I take all the Legal Shield associates out of your Facebook page, keep your hand high if you have more than 100 with no legal, don't count one Legal Shield person. Now look around the room. Okay, at the very most, we were at 50 with any question I asked, 50%. Would you agree?
Yep.
Right? When you take out Legal Shield, which you can't market them a membership or recruit them, right? So when you take that out, we're down to like 20% of the room. So why grab somebody and start driving all the social media stuff? We don't want them sitting at their house trying to learn social media any more than I want them trying to learn CDLP or group or small business, because those aren't things that will duplicate quickly. Learning to become really good at social media, Facebook, SEO, Drive, all that stuff, that's a whole career in and of itself. All right? Listen, we all play the same game. We all play football. But the group person is the running back, and the small business person's the receiver, and just because I favor networking, the quarterback is the networker. That's the person that should have the sense to go, okay, that guy's fumbled three times. I'm not giving him the ball, third down, 2 seconds on the clock, and we score, don't. Are you with me?
Yep.
You're the one that has to have the discipline as a networker to say, hey, I'm going to guide this whole model, and I'm telling you how to guide it. Small business groups, CDLP, social media. I don't even want these things mentioned inside of the networking realm. I'm just giving you my opinion. You guys got to do what you want to do. But in Denver, our Tuesday night briefing, that's for networking. It's 7 to 12 hours a week. I don't want a testimony about group. And there's a reason, because somebody sits and goes, oh, he made how much yesterday? In one day? He made $5,000 in one day? I'm going to do group. You just killed him. Now he's going to run off and try to figure that out, and then the seeds of doubt are going to set in, and he's not really good at it. And he's working nights and weekends around a job. He can't call a company around nights and weekends. Is everybody following me?
Yes.
But let me show you. Getting back to our core model here, this is what's so cool, is that person can put a list together with a free app. I'm telling you, everybody can do that. And they can contact and invite, which is, hey, Chris, it's Patrick. I'm really nervous. I don't know why. But listen, I started this business. I'm freaking out. But I respect you. You've been so successful. Would you look at something for me if I sent you an email, please? Thank you. They can do that. And they can get better at it. But they can do that. And you know what I love about this business? This business is about the underdog. It's not just about the stud, right? It's about the person who's hungry and doesn't have another way. I failed the fourth grade twice. It takes a really special skill to fail the fourth grade twice. I was 7 years out of school. I was 37 grand in debt. I had 20 different jobs. I'd started three different businesses. I had six brothers and sisters that are like, Patrick, get a job, dude. Right? I was the underdog. Nobody would say, hey, you're going to build a... Nobody. But this business gave me a platform that nobody else's judgment of me mattered. In corporate America, if you get judged and rated and qualified on your degree or your background or your grades or whatever, you've got a problem. Here, the computer doesn't care. It's all about activity, production, results. And when you have a system that's this simple, man, that's exciting because now everybody can succeed. I love that about the business. It's not a free ride, but it's something everybody can do. And success begets success, and momentum begets momentum. And it's amazing how you start making $500 to $1,000 a month, which I did, and I thought, man, I can make $2,000. As quick as I got to $2,000, I made ADD 1 month, and I failed to make it the next month, right? But I'm sitting there thinking, man, I got to $2,000. I can get to $5,000. Now, I don't know how you mentally go from two to five, but I did. I just thought, well, I can make five. But I didn't come in going, I'm going to make $5,000 a month. I thought, I just need to make some money. I need to see if this thing's real. I remember coming in and saying, I'm going to go market 20 memberships. I'm going to go see if somebody will actually buy this thing. And I don't even remember getting to 20. By the 10th one, and this is how it happens for people. And I remember the moment I'm sitting in a coffee shop and my back's to the machines and I'm looking out the window and I got this guy in front of me and he's got 14 or 15 employees in the construction business. And I'm messing up the presentation and he thinks that the membership is $25 each area that I'm going through. And I'm on the third area, right? And he stops me and he goes, you mean... I can buy all of this for only $75. And I remember thinking, this is going to work. Right? I mean, but nobody confused me with any of this other stuff. In Texas, there were no small business plans. I didn't know squat about group, nothing about it, how to do it, wasn't interested in it, because nobody was trying to even tell me about it. Look, what you focus on in life expands. It just does. And you can't change where your energy and other people's energy goes very often, oddly enough. You can't directly change that except through awareness. Awareness changes energy. What you focus on expands. Now, if we're out talking about all this panacea of Legal Shield, if we got the guy trying to learn to be a receiver and a running back and a quarterback, and since we're playing with the ball, he's also practicing baseball on the weekend and soccer over here, is he ever going to be good at anything? No. And a confused mind does nothing. We're guilty of killing the opportunity for a lot of people that would otherwise have tremendous success. But we're the one throwing them in the shark-infested water. That doesn't mean we're not excited about these different arenas. But this is how it should work. A dud recruits a stud 3,000 miles away, and I'm going to get to this core heart of this system thing. A dud recruits a stud 3,000 miles away, and bam, they get started. And then that person, following a simple system that everybody can do, they recruit somebody, and then they recruit somebody, and then they recruit somebody. And five levels deep, that guy says, hey... do you guys have a group employee benefits arena? I mean, does this get marketed as a group benefit? And the sponsor goes, well, I think it does, which we can't help today because it's all over the place. But I'd rather them know nothing about it. And then that guy goes, man, this would be a good product for group benefits. Y'all have a division? And then they ask him, and they get on the call, and they call you, and they ask the executive director, or they ask the platinum, and they go, yeah, why do you ask? And they go, well, I got this guy. And he's all about this group, and I think that's what he's done. And I pick up the phone, and we call him. And for 20 years, that's all he's done. And he's a stud. And he does group employee benefits, and he loves it. And that's what he wants to do. Now we carve him out, and we send him to group school. and he can go crush it in group. And we get him all the support and all the training he needs to succeed in that arena. Does that make sense? But we're never getting five levels deep fast enough. You never got to the superstar group producer. You tried to turn three or two of your first four recruits who have no business being in group into a stud when the one guy you could have got five levels deep by having this thing duplicate. It's about speed of implementation. How quick can you give people a platform to generate some immediate money? And you got to the fifth guy and he was your superstar. He's the guy that marketed 11,000 memberships. He got recruited, though, by a non-group producer. That's how Scott Viette came into business, by a non-group producer, recruited him. Is everybody with me?
Yeah.
Okay, any questions so far?
Nope.
All right. Is it clear a little bit? Okay. Check in. So, you get good, okay, so this is the whole model. And you'll see everything in this circle, everybody can do, all right? So we understand the model one, and I'm going to repeat it so that you can go explain this to somebody, right? You can say, hey, number one, you got to understand our model. Number two is if you understand that model, then it has to duplicate. Number three is we need people to talk to in this model, prospects. And you can talk about A, B, and C, D prospects. And then once you have people to talk to, you need to be able to contact and invite them. Keep it simple. It doesn't need to be confusing. There are 100 different models here. That's not my purpose today, but I'll give you a couple little quick examples, right? If I'm brand new in the business and Terry's new in the business, but I've just gotten started. I've had a little bit of training. I'm getting comfortable flipping the pages and marketing a membership, which is part of the network marketing model. I mean, book an appointment, sell a membership. You can sell to recruit or recruit to sell. It doesn't matter which one. They both have a place. They both duplicate. They both work, okay? So if you're a little leery in the beginning in the networking model of, oh, I just can't recruit, and you're one of those people we can't convince otherwise even when we explain it, just go market some individual memberships. Is everybody with me? That works. We'll get money in your pocket. You can fast start qualify. You can get on Performance Club. You can do all that. So anyway, I sit down with Terry. Terry's really nervous. She's got a list. She put them in the app. Boom, I look up a couple of the names. She's super nervous, doesn't know what to do. We pick up the phone and I make some calls for her. And Joyce is a longtime friend of hers. They've known each other 20 years. Ring, ring. Hello, is Joyce there?
Yeah.
Hi, Joyce. This is Patrick Shaw. How are you?
Oh, good,
good. I thought I lost you, Joyce. Hey, Joyce, you obviously don't know me. Here's the reason for my call. I am sitting with Terry Love. I understand you guys have been friends a long time. Well, I don't know if you know, but Terry has taken on a new career. She's working part-time, but I'm her field trainer, and she has got to practice a presentation for our company. And I asked her three or four people that would give her good feedback. You may not be interested in what we do or our services or anything like that. But at this stage, it's her first three presentations. She's got to practice. Would you allow her to come by and practice sometime in the next 2 or 3 days? Now, I've told Joyce I'm her field trainer. What does that mean to Joyce? What is Joyce thinking? I'm her boss, right? And Terry is Joyce's friend. What is Joyce going to say? 100% of the time.
Wow.
Right. Now, I get Joyce, we practice a role play a little bit, and she goes and markets a membership. And if you don't believe that works, the last woman I called, she told me about all her problems, can't get anybody to sit with her and can't. She told me she'd presented 12 times and nobody bought a membership. And I'm like, well, explain it. You know, give me the present. Never sat with one of them. They were all over the phone. I was like, well, it's a little hard to present over the telephone when you're brand new and blah. She didn't present. She kind of told them enough to know that they wouldn't be interested. So I said, give me your list. Let's call some of them. And we get this chiropractor on the phone. And she said, oh, he's not interested at all. I said, I know. Let me call him. I called him up. I said, hey, Bob, this is Patrick Shaw with Legal Shield. And I said, oh, yeah, I'm not interested. Oh, no, I understand. That's actually why I'm calling you. I know you're not interested. Right? Literally. I mean, this literally is how it went. And I know you're not interested. And that's actually why I'm calling. Because here's the challenge. Is Sarah is not presented our service, and she spoke very highly of you, said you're a professional, and since you're not interested anyway, and you could give her some good feedback as a professional, would you allow her just to present and tell her maybe where she's going wrong in the presentation? It'll take about 10 minutes. I'm her field trainer, da-da-da. Oh, I'd be happy to do that. I mean, you should have seen him. He's like, hey, I'm that guy. I'll give her some feedback. She calls me the next day screaming in the phone. You're not going to believe it! You're not going to believe it! I was like, oh, I'll believe it. The guy bought the membership, okay? Now, that's one idea. When you get this whole concept in your head, you can start categorizing all the trainings you hear. And if they don't fall, I'm serious about this, if they don't fall in this little circle, then keep them outside the circle. I'm not telling you not to go to group school. I'm not telling you not to do all that. I'm telling you, inside this precious little circle is the business that will get you to everything that you want. It's the part of the business that you'll make more money, you'll build a bigger team, you'll have more group production, but you don't do it. You think the CEO, you think Rip Mason is there at the home office every day making phone calls to his warm market to sell a membership or recruit somebody? Is that the highest and best use of our CEO's time? No, it's not, right? He's got a job to do in his realm and what he's supposed to be doing. We have a job to do, right? And you got to decide, what is the end game I'm after? Now, again, if you're sitting in here and say, I love group. I don't like to work on weekends or evenings. I don't like people calling me and asking to do a three-way call when I'm free on Saturday, right? I love speaking in front of companies. I have that background. I'm passionate about it. Or even I don't have that background, but I love a little more of a linear kind of income, right? Not that somebody would necessarily love, but you got to understand what you're getting and what you're focused on. If you love all that, then go do it. I'm not telling you not to, but I do know the game you're in. Some people say, small business, that's my thing. Okay, great. What's your end game? Because you can't sell enough small business memberships one at a time to create financial freedom. And some of you may not know that. You can't. It's one at a time. Some of them are going to cancel. There's only two ways to make a lot of money in Legal Shield. You either do group, because there's numbers, there's multiples, or you're a networker. And even down the road, you can be the full service associate way down the road. I wouldn't advise it, because I don't think anybody's ever a good running back, quarterback, and receiver. I never met one. You know, Peyton Manning should not be running the football. There's a reason he stands there and doesn't move. You guys with me? So and that took on a light, like I'm the full service associate. So you're the jack of all trades. Good. Good job. Keep it up. You know, be really good. Is everybody following me? I'm not. Am I being too hard?
No.
Okay. All right. So know what your end game is. What are you trying to accomplish? So get good at contacting and inviting. Next up is understand what tools you've got available, okay? And obviously, you'll notice, and all these tools, and I'm just going to jot these out real quick. I hope you're taking notes because I'm erasing this stuff, right? Here are your tools. Why don't you give me the tools? Let's hear them. DVDs. Luncheons. Whoa. Flipbook. Keep going.
Sizzle
call. Yeah, upline would be three-way. Right? What else? For a membership. PBR. PCCs. Okay? There's something about every single one of these, and I'll mention CDs here in a second. There's something about every single one of these. What is it? I mean, just pick any one, right? The DVD, that's the tool. You need to contact and invite and hand them a DVD. Now, under contacting and inviting, we'd also say, okay, that there's follow-up. You have 3 to 5 exposures. Right? That's what it usually is going to take. You don't hand them a DVD and not call them back. You don't put them in GWP Connect and then not make the phone call. Now, if your group is big enough, that will actually work. If you get the team putting enough names in the system, the studs will surface anyway who are looking for an opportunity. But on a smaller scale, you just got to follow up. It's 3 to 5 exposures. It's 24 to 48 hours between exposures. Now, I'm not going to get into that whole training. I just want you to understand there's your tools. You can invite somebody to lunch. I mean, what's that contacting and inviting? Hey, is it Mario?
Memo.
Memo. Hey, Memo, you look sharp. Memo, this is Patrick Shaw. How are you? Hey, what you doing for lunch on Thursday? Can you get free for an hour? All right, I'm picking you up. I got something I want you to see. There's a company that's expanding in Colorado. There's this top expert that's coming in. I don't know if it'd be a fit at all, but I got to put in a butt in a chair. There's a little contest going on, so I could use a favor. Now, does that approach work with every single person? No. Different strokes for it. You get better at contacting and inviting. You want to get real. This should be refreshing to you, because when you get this, okay, I need to get prospects. I need to learn. I need to become real. If there's one skill to become really good at, it's contacting and inviting. If there's a reason to call cold market, it's just so you can get better. Don't even get a result. Just get better. Because if you can call cold market and you can get them to show up at something, you're pretty good. And that should be your goal for doing it. I mean, your primary reason, get really good at contacting and inviting. You just don't have to be. Gladwell wrote this book, and he was talking about one of his books, and he was talking about specifically the people that achieve massive success. They've refined just a small number of skills, and they become excellent at them, right? If there's a skill in this business that matters, it's picking up the phone and being able to move somebody from one event to the next to get them to a first exposure. And that is an art. It is a skill. And I'm telling you, you develop that one skill. And if you want, let me give you a quick shortcut to it. You want to get really good at that one skill because it matters. And there's a number of things, and I'll give you the list here real quick, but there's a number of things that happen when you develop the skill, okay? You're able to encourage. It's always the same model. The first thing I do calling anybody, if I call Ryan and I'm trying to invite him to an event, I'm trying to re-encourage him as an associate, I'm trying to get him to go to the national event, doesn't matter what it is, I always start with Ryan. Ryan, it might be, Ryan, why'd you get started in the business in the first place? When you joined 2 years ago, why was that? And I get him to start talking about his reasons, because now he's going to have to justify his reasons to me in a second. But he had reasons, and he will give me his reasons, because otherwise, well, that was a stupid decision. I didn't do it for any reason. I just wanted to blow $149 for no reason at all. No, nobody's ever said that. They always give you the reasons. And this is how I start every, in all contacting and inviting. So Ryan gives me his reasons. I say, Ryan, I got something to admit to you. I spent the last year and a half going down the wrong road. But man, I just learned something from a guy named Mr. Hughes, and you got to see it. I absolutely, positively know that $1,000 a month that you just told me you were interested in, we can do it now. We got a system. I know what to do. Right? It's the same skill. If I'm calling Ryan up, Cole, Ryan, what's your background? How long have you been doing it? So you've been, you know, lawn care for 15 years. Why are you looking for a change right now? I'm getting him to give me some. It's the same skill. And I just use it in all these different venues. If you get really good at it, it's game over. Is everybody following me?
Yeah.
And here's some ways to get good at it. Now, I hope everybody in this room will do it. I believe everybody can. I happen to know only about 1% will. And I'm just throwing it out there to maybe get 2% who say, I'll show him. Okay. Get a mirror. And put it on your desk and smile. Now, you may not need that, but I needed that. I could get a little intense and excited, and people took it the wrong way, so I had to breathe, and I had to get a mirror, and I had to smile. And I got a timer, a little egg timer. So when I contacted and invited, that call never went, depending on what type of call it was, but it never went longer than 5 minutes and usually less than three. If it was a prospect I was calling for the first time to invite to review some information, never more than 3 minutes. I didn't call people 30 minutes, spend a half hour catching up, and then go, hey, well, listen, oh, by the way, I haven't talked to you in 6 months, and I just pretended to catch up for a half hour, and you and I both know I'm full of it, and now this is my real point, which is, would you look at some information for a business? Right? You with anybody ever made that call? I've made that call. Anybody ever made that call? It lacks integrity. I mean, if I'm calling them, hey, listen, we got to catch up. I'd really like to do that sometime, but I'm calling you on a business for a business reason right now. And just get to it, right? Because you don't have time to have 30-minute calls. You could have called 10 more people, and the 10th person on the list was your superstar or led you to your superstar, but you never got the call in because you spent too much time. There's a multitude of reasons. It's 3 minutes. So you get a mirror. You get an egg timer. You get a script. Have an outline. Like, I mean, I had an outline when I called, and I have that outline in my head. Every one of them. There was an outline. So you can become very good at contacting and inviting. And it always started with them asking some questions, building some rapport, the sizzle, my 30-second, 45-second commercial. Based on what they told me, I shared some things that I thought might be interesting to them. If they were savvy, visionary, business kind of person, I told them about Mid-Ocean, the revolution of an industry, coffee, you know, bottled water, and how they changed an old industry, and we're reveling, blah, blah, blah. If it was somebody that just needed to pay next month's rent, I said, listen, I got a service that I can show you how to make a check next week. If you're serious, there's no question I can get a check in your pocket if you're willing to work with me. Now, that's sincere, and it meets their needs. It was based on asking some questions, the sizzle, and then the invitation. That's all I'm doing in 3 minutes. Asking some questions, coming up with this, you know, the message, and then the invitation. Three simple steps. Become really good at it. Record yourself. So you got a mirror, you got a timer, you got a script. Record yourself. And then play it back and see how you sound. My brother called me once, and he thought he sounded so good, he finally got a recorder, finally recorded himself, didn't listen to it, calls me up and goes, dude, you got to listen to this. He hits play. Goes about 15 seconds. He goes, oh, forget it, and hung up the phone. He didn't realize how bad he sounded. He was excited about the result because the guy was positive on the phone. But he mistook that for being any good. But when he played it back to himself, he got it, man. It was like, wow. And now he had a reference point. Do you have a reference point? We can't really effectively talk and hear ourselves and evaluate how effective we are. Okay? All right. Any questions on any of that? We're going to keep going here. These are all tools that duplicate. The one-on-one, you need to learn how to sit down one-on-one and market a membership. I don't think you should ever sit down one-on-one and present the business, or at least as a very last resort. Why? Why? It doesn't. I can't teach a new person to do that immediately. I can't, you know, we just can't go down this line and go four levels deep in 2 weeks teaching everybody how to be good at presenting the opportunity. Most people can't do it. They don't have the time to do it. They're working 7 to 12 hours a week. Now, you need to learn to market a membership. Book an appointment, market a membership. That's something everybody can do. We don't have to oversell our product. It's more of an educational process, and people will buy it or they don't. That's fine. But when it comes to recruiting, man, luncheons, three-way calls, sizzle calls, and I'll mention this one, and I'm not going to go very deep in it, but how many people in this room, by a show of hands, have a CD player in your car? Seriously, raise your hand for a second. If you've got a CD player in your car, what would you say that is? What percentage of the room? 95%. Okay. Does anybody in here just love Kevin Trudeau? Don't raise your hand. Okay. Because I can't stand the guy. You talk about sleazy. But somebody gave me these Kevin Trudeau. I mean, he's so, like, I knew he was bad. And I'm like, wow, you are a, anyway, I'm going to stop there. If you don't have anything nice to say, right? But he did do me a favor in a roundabout sort of way. That CD series sat in my car for like a month because I wasn't going to listen to it in the house, and it was in my car, and I have a CD player in the car, and I knew I didn't like it, but I put the first one in, and it was horrible. And I'm like, wow, that's horrible. And then I put the second one in. I'm like, that's worse than the first one. He hasn't changed his message at all. It was all hype, the entire thing, two CDs. And then I put the third one in. Now I was curious if he was just going to get out of the hype and actually say a single thing of substance. And he didn't. What's the lesson there? No, that is one lesson. But that's not the lesson I want you to get. What is the lesson? They're going to listen to that dang CD. I mean, people are curious, right? You're just kind of curious. And if you get a really great little CD and it says get paid daily on it and it says, you know, work from anywhere, have fun, BMW bonus, da-da-da, you're thinking, hey, and that's how we built the business. It was so simple. You know, let me break away for 1 second here. Somebody said website, and then I heard like six variations of the website, okay, different ways to use. Here's the problem. It doesn't duplicate if it's so confusing to get to. Now, I don't know what the solution to that is right now. I love what the company's doing. They're coming out with some great stuff, but it's too confusing to get to, which is part of GWP Connect because there's nothing to figure out. You just put the name in and the emails and the videos and all that start going. I would encourage you to do this is pick one or two and just keep it simple. But if you're trying to get them to go to their back office and figure out what link to write and write special emails, you just confuse the whole thing. I need everybody to be able to pick up the phone, contact, and invite. Do something simple. The power of a CD is I can take that CD. I can take anybody, and they can go. I mean, we used to, back in the day, I mean, all these flashes come back. I haven't trained on any of this yet. This is the first event. But I remember, you know what we used to do? We go, you walk up, and you go, hey, how are you? And then you run. You just throw a CD at them and you run. And it was a joke we did during trainings back in the day. We said, when you see somebody's window down in the car, you just throw it in their window. Now it was a joke. That's not professional. I get it all. But what we were trying to get across to people is you can do it. It's simple. So I've got a 14-minute message that Chris and I have been working on. And, I mean, I've spent probably 10 hours on this thing. Chris has spent a bunch of time developing this great cover for this CD. I got two franchise guys on my team that's 50 years selling franchises. And I interviewed them. And it's pretty informal on the CD. And I think that's okay because the other part is much more formal and scripted. And it's all nice and clean and tight. And it's a 14-minute, bam, you should look at our opportunity. Timing, leverage, freedom, but professional, right? Not hypey, not free ride. Just look, here's the economy. There's a better way. We're going to revolutionize one of the biggest, oldest industries in history. Here's MidOcean Partners. Doesn't talk about how much it is to join. Doesn't talk about details in the comp plan. And doesn't talk about a lot of details in the product. Enough that they go, wow, it's a credible product. Wow, that's a solid company. And man, they're in front of some timing. And then I interview these two franchise guys that will tell you, there's more support, a better system, a business with legs than the majority of all the franchises they ever sold for $250,000 to $500,000. Both of them have been selling franchises 50 years. They've been selling franchises. And they will tell you most of those franchises, the vast majority of them, they hadn't even been in business 10 years. And this is their words, right? They're on there telling this story. Now, if you give somebody that CD and they plug it in their car, and they hear that message, and then they hear the story of these two guys interviewed, and then they hear a bunch of testimonies from different leaders across the country. Do you think you might get somebody's attention? And if it doesn't get their attention, and they go, nah, it's not really for me, now you know. The only challenge with, like, I love the two-minute video from corporate. I use it in every briefing. I think it is the coolest branding tool. But there's one challenge. If I have George watch it, George goes, that's really cool. That's a good company. Good for you. Congratulations. I mean, he doesn't know, like, what's that mean to me? And sometimes you only get one exposure. And so you want to make it a decent exposure. It's a reason why we teach don't say too much to anybody before you get them to the briefing, because you're new and you will screw it up. That's duplicatable. Now, some people don't like it. They say, well, that it sounds so evasive. Well, then don't be evasive. Right? Be honest. Be sincere. Look, hey, Ryan, this is Patrick Shaw. I do not want to be evasive on this call, but you're going to ask me questions in a second, and I can't answer them. And because I can't answer them, I don't want to really mess this up. Would you do me a favor? I need you to look at a business. I'm getting it. You probably won't be interested, but I could use your help. Now, is that evasive? No, it's about as transparent as you can get, right? You know, being evasive is a personal problem, right? But just lay it out there. Be honest. Be sincere about it. Anyway, I'm completely off track. Where was I? So back in the day, right, we taught all this stuff. And there is a professional way to do it. And you want to teach the right way to do it. But if that person listens to that audio and they say to you, hey, it's not for me, it's not for them. It's not a fit. You can ask them a couple more questions, but don't try to convince them. It's not for them. Sometimes some of the videos we watch, there's no way for them to know if it's for them or not. But sometimes they know just enough to think it's not for them. They really do. But this CD sells what I'm talking about. We don't get into all the training, but I say 7 to 12 hours a week, part-time or full-time, rock-solid company, support, systems. You don't have to give up your life to make this thing work. I mean, and we're looking for that person. And some of you, you know, you bring somebody in under the pretenses that they're going to do group. They quickly figure out they can't do group. They don't even tell you. They just disappear. And you go, well, I wonder why they disappeared. Because you brought them in the wrong way. You brought them in doing something they can't do. Okay? All right. So, wrapping up here, right? We talked about tools. This is titled Tools and Events. Okay? So we've got these tools and events. Now, you don't have to be an expert at the tools, the events. What do you have to be an expert at?
Contacting, inviting.
That's it. Right? The tools and events are set up. Get good at marketing and membership, but get great at contacting and inviting. Okay? You don't ever have to be great at marketing and membership. I am not great at marketing and membership. I am sufficient. My belief is great. My presentation's not that great at marketing the membership. Right? And maybe by your somebody might say, oh, well, it's really good. It's really, some of these group producers, let me tell you, they're really great. So I'm saying it at my level, my standard, being in the business 15 years or whatever, I know I'm not great, but I've heard people that are great, right? You don't have to be great. Just be sufficient, all right? And then put your energy into being great at contacting and inviting. Number six is follow-up. You got to follow up, which is really just another faction of what? It's just contacting and inviting, right? Because now all you're doing when you follow up is, hey, what did you like about what you see? Ask a couple questions. You got a new message now, and you invite. You're just moving them to the next exposure. Your job there is not to sell. As a matter of fact, it's almost never to sell. Maybe at the end of the briefing, you say, hey, what did you like about what you saw? Great. Are you ready to get started? Let's fire this thing up, man. We'll make it happen. I mean, that's your close. There's nothing else to it. And you do it in a high level of excitement. Too many people call somebody back. They finally reach them 3 days after they watch something, and they say, hey, you ready to get started? No, they had 3 days to cool off. What you're trying to do is find out one or two things they liked, put them on a three-way call, get them excited. The person on the three-way will invite them to the next event. And at the next event, when they're excited, at a high level of excitement, then you say, you ready to get started? Let's fire this thing up. Is everybody with me? That's the skill set. But it's just contacting and inviting again. That's all follow-up is. All right? Seven. So out of this whole process... Hey, does Apple have one of these pads you write on? Any of you guys? You ever seen anybody do this with Apple at the events? It was just a question. What are you guys laughing about? It's a special thing. It's called Windows. I just I really have no basis for that other than I just know the environment I'm in, so I couldn't help it. So listen, three, right, is prospects. Four is contacting and inviting. Five is tools and events. Six is follow-up. Okay, and all this is just part of this funnel. That's all it is. And you've got prospects coming in, right, at the very top. You've got prospects coming in, A prospects most of the time, and you're just moving them through, contacting and inviting, tools and events, and follow-up. And out of the bottom of this comes a ratio, and you get a new recruit. All right? And then what do we do with that new recruit? We sit down with them and we go, okay, we do a game plan interview. What's your why? Let's put a list together, which in my case is GWP Connect. We put a list together. And number three is we contact and invite. We're just starting this process all over again. And outside of this, we keep all the other stuff. And where do we keep the other? At the weekly briefing, right? On your team call or whatever, that core call. Now, you're not going to be able to control all these environments. And if you're really smart, you'll probably get a little frustrated by too many other people dripping on your prospects. But if we can all start to speak the same language, how many people are buying what I'm saying? Right? Then send the email to corporate. One is you can thank them for getting me in here. I mean, that's pretty cool. It really is. That did not happen 3 or 4 years ago. If Savola wasn't coming in, you didn't have Rip, Melanie, Darnell, and everybody else jumping on the line, text and email and say, look, can you help out? Is there something you can do? You know, one big fam. That's pretty cool. It really is. So send them a thank you note. And when you send them a thank you note, you might, I don't know the best way to do that. I'll leave that to Chris. But, but man, talk about the simplicity. Man, I was excited because I didn't realize how simple the business could be. Let Chris give you two or three taglines at the end of the day that you can use. But because if as a company, and they have done an extraordinary job, and to a large degree, I don't think it's their responsibility to make sure that our message is simple and clear. That's our job. We're the ones that market the product. We're the ones that recruit. And they'll follow our lead. If I had my way, you couldn't even go to group school unless you called in and got an exception. There are exceptions sometimes. A guy who spent 20 years doing group benefits, he knows how to do it, blah, blah, blah. But you couldn't even go to group school until you've had 10 sales. Now, the group trainer in most states would say, hang that guy right now, okay? And I don't know if that's the case here, but it's not against group. I want bigger group classes. And if the group trainer's really smart, they will understand the way. Dude, our group schools used to be 100 people. 100 people in group school. How? We focused on what I'm talking about today. That's the irony. So the group trainer should be the loudest voice backing this message up. Now, that's not always going to happen because it's hard to see from A to Z and go, okay, but I'm telling you that's what happens. And then so much of group school is learn how to market a product, and that's incorporated into a first-tier group school. But anyway, figure out how you want to convey that message. But if nothing else, just send them a thank you letter, unless you think I was terrible, and then don't do anything. Okay? All right. And then, listen, there's one last piece down here at the bottom of this that I'm not going to get in today at all, but it's leadership development. Okay? I mean, because now you've got all these new recruits, and now it is your job, you know, values, purpose, vision, systems, support, drive this model. I mean, that's your job as you're starting to develop a team. Meet your team once a week, the two or three people at a coffee shop, and sit down and go, look, we're going to get you Fast Start qualified, and we're going to get you on Performance Club. Right? And we could spend, all these things are a big deal. They're duplicatable. Performance Club's something everybody can do. It is the heart and soul of this business. Right? You want to be Power 20? Fine. Get four people on Performance Club. You and three others. Every month you'll be Power 20. You want to be ED? Get 10 to 15 people on Performance Club. You're ED. If you have 7 solid people every month that qualify Performance Club, you're going to be ED. You say, 7 times 5 is what? 35? Yep. You'll get the other 15 sales, I guarantee you, from people that are on and off and everything else. 7 people, that's it. How do you get 7 people quickly who are on Performance Club? You just drive this like gangbusters. And you don't forget yourself a week from now when you're sitting down with somebody and you start to go, you can do group and small, the bite your tongue, right? And a lot, I fell into the habit because it sells how viable our product really is. By selling, I can make the other argument. I could sit here and make just as a compelling an argument for why we talk about all these other divisions. But now I know, and I've made that argument naively. I forgot why. And listen, this is coming from a guy. We have been in the top 5 in Colorado for a year and a half solid. Now my goal, I'm not trying to be in the top 5. I'm trying to be, and if nobody else catches on to this, we'll just be number 1. Right? Because now we shouldn't be because of California and Texas and some of these states. But I'm telling you, if you get it, you'll just, because it'll start to duplicate. And when you start recruiting through Warren Market, it's game over. Everybody in here has people that know them, like them, and trust them, and they're willing to take a look at something with no strings attached. They'll just look. And that's all we need people to do, to look. But when you go to Cold Market or all these other things, I mean, it just breaks down. So anyway, I've made it all clear enough. I don't even know how long I've gone, or I've got another piece I can do, but any questions on this at all? Should we take a break here, or what do you want to do? Okay. My flight leaves at 3 o'clock.
We just want to make sure we got you off your flight.
What time is it? We're good. Okay. All right. I don't. I'm flying southwest, 30 minutes, I'm good. All right. United? That's a different story. Listen, seriously, any questions on this? And I'm going to go to a completely different subject, which is just as important but very different. Yes? That CD, probably about 10 days, right? And don't, listen, and don't, we're not advertising that. I'm serious about this. Just use it in your market. I'm not blasting it all over the place. I didn't go through all this stuff at corporate. It's a simple CD, so I want the results to speak for themselves. We'll go blow up the market. When you get everybody with those CDs in their hands and they're brand new, and then the stories start coming in from the guy, I'm telling you, that CD is going to resonate with people. They're going to hear that message and they're going to go, this was made for me. And they're going to come in and you're not going to fight about show up at a weekly briefing. Because we told them 7 to 12 hours a week, 500 a month, simple system, boom, boom. I mean, they're like pre-qualified. Part of the problem right now is people don't even know what to say. This gal 3 days ago puts me on a 3-way with a guy, and I could tell in 2 minutes, oh my God, this is just a complete waste of the next 20 minutes. But I couldn't be rude to her, and I didn't want to be rude to the guy, but he had no idea what we did or how it worked or what we, you know, and all he wanted to do is have somebody market a couple of his, he sold homes and did flips, and he wants a couple times a month at most, and he wants somebody to sell. But she was so excited because he was a stud and he was willing to listen. So she puts me on a 3-way. A waste of my time, her time, his time. If he had listened to that CD, he would have immediately known it's not for him. And I never would have had to do the 3-way call. And that's called a winner. Right? Now you may go, well, what's he mean? This business is not for everybody. We're not trying to make it for everybody. Yes. And if you can't stand what I said today and you want to build a large network marketing business, save yourself some pain and quit today, right? Because I'm telling you, that's our business. Or you can go do group, or you can go, but just know what you're getting into. And I know I've said this before, but just begin with the end in mind. This is simple, and it can be super professional, guys. I mean, I'm in a very professional environment. I'm in this freaking ridiculous country club with all these rich people and all this crap. There's a professional way to do all of this. There's a right way and a wrong way. It is super professional, right? You just got to get your story right. Become a great contactor and inviter, and nobody will ever take offense to your message, right? People ask me what I do because when you get that part right. Okay, any other questions? So about 10 days or 2 weeks, we should have those CDs. And if you'll just, and that way, if everybody's just getting them out, we'll crush it. Yes.
Which title is this CD?
What's that?
What is the title of this CD?
It's Get Paid Daily.
Get Paid Daily.
We didn't want it to be too cheesy. We do pay daily. And that title actually has worked in the past. So, and don't call the company looking for it. Don't order it. You can get all, Chris will get you all those details. And it's at cost. You know, they're going to be somewhere around 60 to 70 cents. You know, we're trying to keep them at 50, but maybe when we get the orders to 10,000, we can get it down to that. But anyway, so we'll have them at cost. Yes. Anybody else? And being so cheap, you know, that's the power of it too, man. People can get them out. And I'll tell you this, since you guys use GWP Connect, I'll tell you one other thing is pretty cool. You'll be able to put your QR code on the back of it. And the particular QR code you will put is a GWP Connect, your own personalized capture page. So that is on the premium site. But Ryan's will say, you know, Ryan Burns, it'll have his contact information, and the capture page will mirror everything that's said on the CD and on the cover. Well, now if you leave it in a doctor's office, guy flips it over, he goes to that website or that QR code, he can put in his email. He goes, yeah, I want more information. And now he automatically goes in an autoresponder that's geared just for that CD message. And then you're going to be notified immediately that not only they put their name in, but they watch the video. Is everybody with me? Now, what does the new person need to know? Not much, right? They don't need much. They just need to be able to hand out a CD, do a three-way call. You know, I mean, the business is pretty simple. All right, who else? One or two more here, and then we'll transition. Yes, sir. One is understand the model, which 7 to 12 hours a week, and I appreciate the question, right? I want everybody to get this. Do you get our model? 7 to 12 hours a week. 95% of the people are part-time. They want to make $500 to $1,000 a month. If you get that, it's hard to argue with any of the other stuff. If you're arguing with the other stuff, I don't think you get the model. Yeah. Right? That's what people are looking for. That's why network marketing has its place. We're not franchising. What's the franchise model? Who buys a franchise? You know? You got to have money. You got to sell your 401k. Most of them, these franchise guys will tell you, most of those people are corporate, would you say expatriates, or they're out of corporate America. These guys tell me that, and they say it on the CD, that the average franchise guy, he just wants to make $100,000 to $150,000 a year. And he's going to spend $250,000. You know, and you know what you get for $250,000? You don't get a retail store and a brand and all that. That kind of franchise, you get a van with like some equipment in it, and you're cleaning something or something like that. And he said, you're going to work harder than you've... He said, these guys will work harder than they've ever worked in their life for the next 3 years. And if they make it, maybe they can get to $100,000 a year. And that's just if they make it. And the majority of all franchise companies are less than 10 years old, which means the franchisor doesn't even make it. Think about it. Well, that's a different... Now, that is also our group, do you understand? I mean, we're also marketing to those people. But you can't play that game. How many people are out there in today's economy that can't play that game, but they want to make something happen? Right? 50% of college graduates, 50% of college graduates can't find a job. 50%. Those are crazy numbers. Right, 97% of people need a retirement. 50% of retirees have less than 30,000. Is it 50% or 70%? Have 70%, I think, have less than $30,000 in retirement. 70%. Dude, we can change people's lives, and I love our product. I mean, man, the product alone can change people's lives. But we've got a vehicle, if you get this model, that helps a lot of people, and you got to become a zealot about that. Some of Paul Meyer's flyers, they're about creating a prospecting habit and an awareness and a mindset. Well, how do you do that? You start to realize the solution you can offer for so many people. You know, I mean, how grateful I am that somebody introduced me to this? You have no idea. I got a 10, 8, and a 6-year-old, and I'm their dad. You know, I get to do things other dads don't get to do. We forgot to hide the elf on the shelf for 2 days. And Audrey's like, he hasn't moved. And then one of the kids touched him. And he goes, I think he stole his magic. Right? And I'm around, so I get to take the elf, who also lost his hat, and I can't find the hat. So I left the elf on a shelf with my 5-year-old with a note that said, Audrey, I'm back. I got my magic back. Right? And I need your help. Can you find my hat? Right? And I mean, she'll just be jacked out of her mind. And for those that think you're lying to your older kids, my 10-year-old the other day, Julie just couldn't help herself. She has never let on she does not know Santa exists, right? Like not even a peep, not a wry smile, nothing. And somehow something came up and Julie asked her and she goes, well, of course I know, but I didn't want to mess anything up. I've known for 2 years, you know, which I thought... It's just a funny, but you know, both of those things happened during the day. I wouldn't have been around. This business is the bomb. I mean, you can change people's lives, but you got to get excited about that and get over the little inhibitions you have about what somebody thinks about you because of your approach. You know, none of us need to be getting our self-esteem from somebody else anyway. Right? Okay. Any other questions? Yes. That was actually GWP Connect, which if you, yeah, so, sorry. All right.
I thought there was an extra one.
Yeah.
So, you talked about a young man.
You want to comment?
He didn't have a job, so your approach is we're going to get him some kind of a job and get him started with Legal Shield. What do you do with the type of person you're talking about that's in that 50% that can't get a job? What's your approach to getting them started with?
I manage expectations. You know, and I got to make an evaluation about where they are and what their skill set is. And, you know, so if the guy comes to me and he goes, look, I need to make some money. And he's got no contacts and no credibility. His skill set isn't very good. You got to find a job. And I'm going to help you figure this business out. But don't set him up for failure. Now, if the guy just lost his job and he's really motivated, I mean, that's the number one thing you're looking for, hungry. Find me somebody who's hungry, and I'll show you somebody that'll get over the obstacles. But if somebody shows up and they got contacts and they got credibility and they're hungry and they got a decent skill set, man, we just get after it. I go to bed. I mean, we lock arms and we go. I'm doing those calls right and left. I'm treating every one of his prospects like it's my frontline new prospect. I'm doing the PBRs. I'm taking them with me everywhere. That guy you can move very quickly, but you got to manage expectations. All the same, even with that guy, I say, look, we got to get you to manager or director, and I don't want you to expect too much until then. We can make some money, yes, and I can map it out. I want to show them. And I'll just mention as a side note here, we need to get back to showing people, right? And if I survey most of you, and this isn't a reflection of anything other than as a company, we just haven't been doing enough of this. If I survey most of you and say exactly how do you get to director, about half of the ones that think they know don't really know. You can't really map it. I go to markets, I'm like, okay, how many, what does it take to get to director? And people are still saying, oh, it takes 3 managers. No, it's 3 senior associates, and the number's off, and they just don't understand it. Well, how are you going to get there? If it takes 3 seniors and you're not clear about what senior is or what director is, how am I going to sit down with somebody and map out a game plan? So you got to really become a student of understanding how to move through the comp plan, not understanding how much they pay you or why. I've never gotten it. Right? I don't go to try to figure out my check or gene and any of that junk, but I know how to move through the comp plan because it's required for me to help other people move through the comp plan. And we got to have a goal and a target. Okay, I hope that answers that question. You know, Chris, would you like to make any comments just on this at all? Or I mean, I know there'll be other opportunities, but Chris gets it. And George probably does too, and he's been sitting here nodding. And a lot of you really get it, but man, just own this thing, right? And if you'll work on politely and positively correcting others, go find two or three people that you can get buy-in from and say, hey, are we all on the same page? I know these guys are on the same page. And understand, it's to build a bigger group business. It's to build, have more people marketing CDLP, but the right people in the right way at the right time. All right, last one.
Maybe you were going to talk about this. I've seen people really plug into the 10 core commitments, but don't ever make the commitment to prospect, which we just learned, becoming a master prospect. And I've seen other people who become a master prospector who don't buy into the system, so they never go anywhere. They're kind of a revolving group.
Right.
Maybe, is that where you kind of get it?
Did you hear the question? That he sees people that they're master, that they prospect. Right, being a master prospector, you would be plugging into the system, right? But they're good at prospecting. They talk to tons of people. Listen, I got some of those folks in Colorado, and they're top recruiters or prospecting all the time, but none of it's duplicated. Like the thing we were doing with the office, you know, bringing people down to the blah, blah, they're part-time. They couldn't do it. We were just blowing them out of the water. And so, you know, after a while, doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result is the definition of what? And so as much as I know about the business, I had to stop after a year and go, man, right? And you got to, I can't help but think about the comp plan 6 years ago. You know, it was the same thing. It was broken. Now it's fixed. But you go down the road a while and you go, hey, something's wrong. Anyway, that's another story. If it doesn't make sense, don't worry about it. But because it doesn't matter anymore. But that's where we're at right now, is that we're recruiting too many people not to have an explosion taking place. And you know all the reasons it's not now. So to his point, you got people that prospect a bunch, but they're not following the system. And you got people that follow the system, and they don't prospect. And you can't have one without the other. You need eggs and flour in the cake, you know, just for a metaphor. I mean, it takes both. You got to get through the numbers. But I think consistently getting through the numbers, and I think also having tools, I think what you're going to find is when we make the tools easier, more people will be more consistent. But right now, unfortunately, if I say, okay, just real quick, just as a, when you prospect somebody, you bump into somebody, just four or five people that are regularly prospecting, raise your hand real quick. Four or five people. Prospecting for candidates for the business, you know, for looking at the opportunity, whatever. In whatever vein, I don't care what it is, raise your hand. What's your approach? What's the first thing you usually do? What do you rely on?
My business card.
Okay, your business card.
I use a business card, but I always ask them, so how long have you been working here? Do you like it?
But what's the tool? What's the predominant, what's that tool you use?
I refer them to the videos from my business card.
Okay, you refer them to the videos on your business card. Who else? But what tool? What do you give them a compliment, it goes well. Okay. What tool? You got it, you listen, it all goes great, and then what? What CD do you give them?
The
I don't even know, do we have a Legal Shield CD? Do we have one? Oh, a DVD, you give them a DVD, okay. Right? Okay. But you get a theme here? There's no theme. Right? We all got different stuff going on all the time. And the reality is every one of those things you guys mentioned, you send them to a 2-minute video, let's say, and they go, well, that's cute. Or you send them to a page that's got 7 or 8 videos and they don't even know where to go. And look, I'm not knocking the company in any way for this. That's not their job. That's our job. We have to be able to execute. You know, nobody in the White House that sends those guys out that are special forces can do what those guys do. Do you understand? And they'll never understand fully what it is to be that guy in special forces in the field doing what they do. How many of us agree with that? You don't know that deal any more than corporate can know what we do. That's not their job. Their job is doing what they do, and they're doing an excellent job of it. Our job is to really understand this, right? And this requires Not that we send them to a website with seven different videos and we confuse the person, they don't know where to go. And then they click on Bob first because everybody's kind of, well, how do you make money here? And if the first video you watch is Bob, it's over. And Bob's not bad, but without context, Bob doesn't even make sense. You just look like one of these other stupid companies in Utah that are hawking something that are a pyramid. You know what I mean? I'm not knocking. I'm just saying we do know those exist. And I'm not saying all of them are, but there are a bunch of them out there. Right? And they're just laundering money between friends. Well, if all I watch is Bob, I don't know the difference. That's why we got to have a tool that's so simple, it paints a clear enough picture, exactly what we're looking for, that that person can go, interesting or not, next. And when that new person, when Ryan's brand, I'm brand new and I hand out that CD and I call Chris and go, hey, that's kind of interesting actually. Great, listen, I don't know that much about the business, but I got a guy who's a superstar. I want you to hear his story. Can you take 30 seconds? He's really busy, but I'm sure he's willing to take a minute. I just want you to hear his story. Chris goes, oh, okay. I three-way in Ryan because I've texted him in advance and told him I'm about to call him maybe. I put him on a three-way and boom. I'm brand new. I handed out a CD. I got a three-way. Ryan invites to the briefing. We're rolling. And now this new person's jacked. They're like, man, I'm making money. I fast start qualified. I'm ahead month ahead on Performance Club. I don't know anything. I'm going to hand out 10 more of these. You know, they got something they can do. And all the little scenarios we just went through. And so back to Ryan's point is, I'm not giving you an excuse, but sometimes it's a little harder to prospect when we're not all clear about exactly what we should be doing. Right? Okay. So, we'll transition here. Should we take a 5-minute break? No, we're good?
We don't take breaks.
We don't take breaks? All right, you stand up. You stand up. Rub the person. Stand up. Stand up. Just stand up. Turn to your right. Rub that person in the shoulders a little bit. Okay, how much time we have? 30 seconds. Give them a little back rub. How are we doing?
Oh, that is showing sweet. Showing him some of the artwork.
Oh, yeah. Think about the old Deputy Daily cassette.
It's the best tool we ever had.
It was the best tool we ever had. I'd always say, now, you only want to hear about service, so you're making all the money you need.
Coach these guys a little afterwards. Okay. If you get them to send an email and talk about how refreshing, how simple, how I thought, man, I can do this, any of that kind of stuff. And then and you can thank them. Here we go. Let's get started.
Patrick, one of the things that we did about 8 years ago, we got Jeff Olson out here, is we bootlegged all his old power trainings before they would let us do it. And that's how come we were number one per capita.
I recorded that. That was the first one ever to record.
It was a recording of the other. I mean, it was a bad time. Right.
All right, here we go. Let's get on this last piece here. All right. I'm just curious. Anything you want me to train on specifically?
Oh, man, this is so good.
Okay, all right, all right.
It's like manna.
Okay, how many people were in Vegas for the event? Okay. So, I don't want to repeat too much of that. But I want to give you the kind of the capsulated version a little bit of that Vegas talk. And if there is, you know, everything we just went through is how-to. It really is, it's the most important how-tos. It wasn't how to make the call or how to contact invite, but it's understanding the model. It's still how-to. And the one piece that's way more important than the how-to in this business, it's the personal development side. And we talk about it and regurgitate it in all kind of different ways. But I'm telling you, if you want to build a large sales organization, if you want to put a great team together, it is the backbone of our entire business. You've got to encourage and believe in people. And all these words we use about encouragement and values and belief and camaraderie, and that's all personal development stuff. I mean, it has a huge impact. Most people come into this business with a lot of doubt about what they're capable of achieving. They come in it with a story that they tell themselves about themselves. And that story is not necessarily empowering. And it is the most important story that any one of us will ever hear in our lifetime is the story we tell ourselves about ourselves. And it's our job as a leader in this business to help people change the story, is to change the belief system. Right? Now, you know, for me, I mean, it's the one thing that I had coming into the business. I believed in myself because I'd had so many struggles before. I knew that other people's perception didn't mean squat. So I was bulletproof in that sense. I didn't care what anybody else thought. I'd been called too many things in school growing up. I'd been through all that. That stuff was easy, and I'd had some successes coming out of that because of Sister Aunt Rita Mock and my mom and college basketball and different things. So at that stage, I'm like, their perception doesn't mean anything. So I had a belief before any of the stuff happened. I could still envision myself getting there. Now, I had to make $1,000 a month first, like I talked about earlier. But I believed. And I would encourage, and I want to take a few minutes here and just talk about how you change that belief. And if you get it, then you can help other people get it, right? And I think there are three simple things. Is everybody following me? It's like the story what you really believe about your ability to make six figures here. It is more important than anything else. You show me somebody that's got all the skills, the talent, the ability, everything, and they lack a belief in themselves. I've seen it too many times. Like right before they start having success, or even in the midst of having success, they will literally mess it up. They will sabotage their own success because of a belief system that they have. Right? And some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. Some of you have no idea what I'm talking about, and you've got to listen really close. It's the story we tell, that little voice that's whispering in our ear when we walk into a room, or we're about to walk up and give our testimony, or we're going to do a presentation. What are you saying to yourself? I hope I don't screw this up. That's a little voice. And that little voice comes from somewhere. It's a choice. But you got to know the steps to change it. And so, purpose, values, and goals. Just write three things down. Purpose, values, and goals. And I've been listening to a lot of Stephen Covey in the car recently, and I just, you know, on the way here, drove by the Franklin Covey building. And I mean, what an incredible guy. And there's nobody that ever talked better about this stuff than Stephen Covey did. But values give meaning in life to your purpose. And we use those two words, purpose and value. Most people, if you say, okay, what are your top five values? No idea. What are your top, what's your greatest purpose in life? You know, and people don't know. I mean, they really don't. And maybe you do, and I hope you do. I hope you've spent the time to figure that out. But what is your greater purpose here? And I'm so vividly clear about mine, and it's a multitude of different things. But one of them is, man, to give that underdog an opportunity, to give that person a chance like I had. I love that. I love learning new things that can empower myself first, whether it's nutritional, fitness, the business, lifestyle, happiness. I mean, I probably read 20 books on happiness. More people should strive just to say, I want to be happy. There's something to be said for that, right? But anyway, it's a whole other story. And then I love teaching that stuff. Well, what a perfect vehicle for me, right? Legal Shield. You recruit people. You show them a better road, a better path. You've tested these things that you've got to learn and improve the quality of your own life. And now you have an audience and an environment where you can share those same concepts and not like a personal development speaker that goes from city to city, sharing it one time and never seeing those people again. But you can have a relationship over time. And so those people, you know, when they're on their deathbed, they look back at their life and say, who are the five people that had the greatest impact? Even if it's not you, it might be somebody that you taught along the road. And what legacy can you leave? I mean, that stuff is cool. What is your purpose in this business? You need to identify it. And then values. And I gave the example in Vegas. I said, you know, I think I did anyway, the person that says, well, I want to backpack across China. And they list that as a goal. I want to backpack across China. That is just their, man, that's platinum to them. And then they have a set of goals that they've been raised with and they grew up on and they, you know, that their parents held close, and it's security, cleanliness, and patriotism. So when you get stopped by the communist police in China, are you wearing a big American flag and do you tell them America's the best and you're a communist? I mean, is that going to help you? Is that going to help you backpack across China? And it may not be the perfect example, right? But backpacking across cleanliness, security, you get the idea. We often have a set of values, and you have values whether or not you've taken the time to write them down. You have them. And those values can be changed. You can choose them through what? You can't always change the energy, but you can what? Change the awareness. So I went to this Zig Ziglar seminar, and Zig said, I, Zig Ziglar, am a person of integrity with a good attitude and specific skills, and I have a high energy level, and I'm enthusiastic, and I take pride in my appearance and what I do. And I have a sense of humor and lots of faith, wisdom, vision, empathy, and courage to use my talents effectively. Now, how do you think I know that? I took his name out and I put my name in. I, Patrick Shaw, I'm a person of integrity. And you can't say that stuff every day. And there are a set of values. Integrity with a good attitude and specific skills, and I have a high energy level. And I'm not trying to personalize this, but my kids, they wake up happy. Because I say myself every day, I'm a person of integrity with a good attitude. Well, you can't say you have a great attitude and not wake up every day with a good attitude. It changes over time. So if you wake up happy, your kids will probably wake up really happy. You can change anything, and you can create a set of values that are particularly supportive of this business. And if you say, man, my goal is to be platinum, more than anything in the world, that's what I want. Okay. Show me the five values that are supportive of platinum. It's not hard. We can look at them and say, oh, that one's okay. It's moderate. But this one's great. But just change them. And you'll find they're all good values. You're not going to find a platinum that doesn't have five pretty good values. Okay? So values and your purpose, right? And that greater purpose matters. Goals will only take you so far, but when you can find that fire inside, that thing that's bigger than just money or things or whatever, now when you get your values, your purpose, and you've got a set of goals, and those all line up, there's synergy between them, they support each other, now you write a vision statement. So that's number four. Right? You come up with this new picture, this new image, this new story that you have. And I'll give you a great free tool for that. www.goalsmadesimple.com. So you can go to goalsmadesimple.com. You can take some pictures. You can write the goal, a power statement, or an affirmation. And it'll play music, and it'll send it to you via text and email with your own movie, right? And it also has a free platform to it. And now you get reminded constantly. So it's one of the things we put when we do our game plan interview with people, why, list, and let's contact and invite. Those are the core three things in the game plan interview. Well, part of the why process is I want to sit down with them and talk about, hey, what are your goals in Legal Shield? What are you trying to accomplish? So that they get an email of that with a picture. Now, I can't get all of them to go do it, but I can start changing their awareness, right? A lot of people come in and they don't set any goals. They don't even know what a goal is, right? They know what it is, but they don't personally really know what it is, right? They're not using it, and that's part of our job. So at any rate, values, purpose, goals, and then you create this vision statement. And if this is woo-woo to you, I'm sorry, you tell yourself a story every day about yourself. That's all it is. Even the ones that haven't formally put anything together, unfortunately, all you're doing is you've got the story, you have a vision statement, and it's been created by your parents, your friends, your relationships, the books you haven't read, the TVs you have watched. I mean, and it's not good. You turn on the television, like, we got a recorder. I can't even watch. It's amazing what shocks different people. But I watch the commercials during a football game. Like, I can't. I lose my mind. I don't want my kids, even the commercials. Because what are they selling? I mean, if we sat here and came up with the top five things that those commercials are selling, they're selling sex, they're selling alcohol, they're selling, I mean, just the list of stuff that they sell, it's not good. And it's not a set of values. They're not selling, any list of values that you go, wow, that commercial really sold me on the power of character. You know, every once in a while there's something. Is everybody with me? So that's where your story's coming from. And we all got to change that story. And keep in mind, 97% of the people in the wealthiest country in the world will end up needing Social Security in the wealthiest country in the world. That is not a good statistic. Now, one of the most important things we could possibly do is provide for ourselves financially. You know, Zig Ziglar said the best way to help the poor is don't be one of them. That's a great place to start. You know, a lot of people are broke as all get out and they want to help the poor. Hell, help yourself. Start right there so that then you have the skills and the wisdom and the knowledge, in the character and the drive and the discipline to go help those people. Because that's all money often represents. And I know there's the cheaters and the media make you think anybody with money is a cheater or a liar. But when I write my short list of the people that have the absolute most influence in my life, two of them were billionaires. I mean, right? Tom Smith had a massive impact. He owned 25% of Legal Shield. Right? A massive impact in my life. One of the most generous people you'll ever meet in your life. Those guys don't get written up. Those women don't get written up all the time. The same media that's feeding us all the junk and getting us to believe, anyway, I'm completely off track. Okay. So your story is being written. So if you think writing a new story is woo-woo, you're woo-woo. I mean, you're just missing it, okay? You're telling yourself a story. Just rewrite the darn thing so you can be happier every day. You can be more positive and optimistic and get in the shape you want to get. You can just rewrite that story. And I'll give you one last example. You know, you take a woman example that they'll accept a lot of things in their life, but they wouldn't accept an abusive relationship as an example. My sister, right, she'll accept a lot of stupid things and date some morons and one thing or another. But an abusive relationship is one that just isn't going to happen. And so she calls me. I remember this is like 15 years ago. She calls me. She met this fella, and she was in love, dude. This was the greatest guy on the planet. And they had been dating about a month and a half. And he grabbed her one day in front of a hotel, and that dude never talked to my sister again. That was it. Because that's her belief about herself, right? We all have those right now. And maybe ours is about drugs or drinking soda pop or not smoking or smoking, or we got a list of them. And those things will just never happen in our life. Because you have a certain programmed idea. It's that simple. And that idea, that belief, is going to dictate that result. Well, you can do that with anything. Momentum begets momentum. Success begets success. When you have some little wins in anything in life, it starts to breed confidence, right? You start to feel like a winner. Your check starts going up. You know, I had to make that first 1,000, then I got to 2, and then I thought, well, I can make 5. I didn't go, I made 2, and I can make 20. But maybe I could have believed that just as easily, but for me, where I was, I needed to make 5. And as soon as I made 5, and maybe it was 7 years out of college, believing I was going to be rich next year, and 7 years of getting beat down, even with a lot of belief, man, it starts to get hard. You start to doubt yourself. You start to question things. Everybody with me?
Yeah.
But when I got to 5, now I was empowered a little. I'm like, oh, I could get to 10. And there was a really strong belief there. When I got to 10, it was 20 and 20 to 40. You know, I started to really believe. So, the mind does not know the difference. It really doesn't. You can go study all this stuff. There's so many great books on it. But, I mean, scientifically, they know, and they're learning so much about the brain today. It's crazy. And everybody will know this stuff in 15 years, but there's just a lag time, right? But they know this stuff about the brain today. It does not know the difference between something that you experience in real life and that you visualized and were emotional about, right? So if you picture yourself, how many times do you think Michael Jordan shot the game-winning shot in the NBA championships, right, and got chill bumps? How many times do you think he shot it in his mind as a kid before it ever happened? Now, he only shot it to win the NBA championships, probably of his 7 championships. He probably only shot the game-winning shot because sometimes they won by 10 points. I only know of one time, that buzzer beater to win the championship, right? It was only one time, maybe. Maybe it was twice.
When he pushed off on Brian Robinson.
Yeah, that's right. That was Salt Lake City, right. Absolutely. Right? But you think it was an accident? He didn't get caught? I mean, there was a belief there. And all I'm saying is if that's true, which it is, it's undeniable, they know it unequivocally, emotional. You learn in an emotional state, just to back up for a second. That's how you learn things. You learn them in an emotional state. How many people remember exactly where you were by a show of hands on 9/11? 9/11, September 11th, Twin Towers got built. Can you remember where you were standing exactly? Everybody? Is there one person that can't? No, I think you don't remember where you were? No idea. You can't remember it. You saw it on TV. Who called you first? Nothing? Right? Okay. So you got one. You're the first, right? But the emotional state learning happens. Now, do you remember where you were the day before? What you had breakfast the day before? Do you remember the day after? I mean, you just don't connect to those things as well. Why? Because it was emotional. It's imprinted on the mind forever. So what happens when you write this vision statement? You create this little story. My wife did it. She writes you can do it in your own way. It doesn't matter what it is. She wrote a day in her life. And she just writes what her perfect day looks like. What does your perfect day look like? If you were to take the time right now, and we took a half hour, which would probably be the best use of a half hour, but we're not going to do it, but it's probably the best use of a half hour. If you started writing it out, okay, I wake up, and we did this at a team event in Vegas at the last event, and it was shocking to me. I'd never done it before. We had everybody take overnight, so we did the whole training, and then we had them come back the next day, and they came back and they read it. And I'm telling you, like 90% of the people started bawling in front of the room. Just how emotional it was to aspire to something, to put it down, to think about it. And you know, because when you start putting it out there and saying, okay, here's a perfect day in my life. Not what I have right now, but where I want to go, what I think is possible. It just, people had this flood of emotions. So often people have let go of their dreams and goals. They don't think about them anymore. Well, you got to be willing to fail to achieve something great. I mean, you got to be willing. And would you ever say to your kids, oh no, honey, don't dream those dreams because, you know, failure's out there and I don't want you to be disappointed. You'd never do that with your kids, would you? But you know why all those people got so emotional? is because it was an admission that they have tucked away all those dreams and goals for so long. I mean, what's the harm in failing? One of the greatest books I've ever read, how many people have read Mindset by Carol Dweck? Mindset? I promise you, you need to read this book. Carol Dweck, Mindset, right? Carol Dweck, D-W-E-C-K. And it's a simple read, but it's profound. And now there's this whole new, I mean, she kind of got the ball rolling, and so many people are writing about the concept of a fixed mindset versus a growth mindset, and how kids, I mean, you want a determinant of success? Find a kid that's got a growth mindset when they're little. And there's ways to determine it. They've studied it. They put them in the room. They've done all this stuff. They followed them for 20 years. It's staggering. I mean, it's not even close. But the bottom line is failure is good. I don't mean how some people, and my wife, she went through this whole book, and I think, you know, I look at her, she's got a growth mindset. I mean, she's open-minded. All this stuff, she read the book, she's like, wow, am I a fixed mindset? And that awareness allows you to start changing things. Now, as a population, I promise you, she's got a pretty growth mindset, but she's like, wow. And she can identify the different areas where really she's concerned maybe about what other people think or perception. Or there's a whole list, but you got to read the book. And then when you get to this place where you go, okay, I've identified it, now I just don't care what anybody thinks. It's just not important to me. A result, my values, my purpose, and my goals are the chief things that are going to drive me. Everything else can change. And I was somewhere connecting the dots, and I got lost. Where was I? No, so write out. I think that was it. So anyway, write out this perfect day. And these folks got all emotional. Take the time to write out the perfect day. Start in the morning. What kind of sheets do you get out of in the morning? What kind of car do you get into? And it doesn't matter. It's not for anybody else to judge. If it's things, that's fine. If it's, you know, if that's where you are right now, great. If it's freedom, that's great. You know, some of you, you know, especially when you start thinking about this, you'll discover you're not motivated at all about more things. You're motivated about doing what you want, when you want, with whom you want, where you want. It's all about time and flexibility and freedom. And, man, that's what it's all about, right? So anyway, write that perfect day out. Figure out what it is. And until you do this, it's going to be really hard for you to inspire other people at the level you're capable of. And that's what people are looking at. A lot of people need that in this business. They need to be around a group of people that believe in them, that inspire them, that make them feel great about what their potential is. And that's so much of this business. And this part I love. I mean, it's the best part of this business is you get to see people evolve and change in a way that is just extraordinary. I've had people that are out of the business that have called me back years later and said, hey, you know, this just happened for me at work. I got this job. You know, it may not even be that great of a situation, but to them, they never dreamed it was possible. And they go back to this business and what they learned here about themselves that changed their lives. And those are some of, I love that. Where else can you get that? So, last piece of this. So, values, goals, purpose. Write this vision statement. You're going to create this new story. And it's got to be emotional. And the story doesn't even have to be emotional. You write the story you want. You make it emotional. You repeat the thing every single day. And repetition and consistency are both important. You can't have one without the other. And look, this takes discipline. I understand that. If you want to change your story and really change the belief system, then it requires repetition and consistency. Because you're trying to... This is the short version. I'm just trying to encourage you to go read some of this stuff. But it'll change the neural pathways. It'll start to make new connections, and you'll start seeing things that didn't exist before. Like you go and buy a blue car, and all of a sudden you notice how many blue cars are on the road. Anybody ever had that experience? Right? All of a sudden you just start, BMW program launches, and all of a sudden you see BMWs everywhere. You notice them. You pay attention to them. Your subconscious did that, not your conscious mind. And we're all trying to build this business and leveraging our conference mind. Conscious mind. We're coming here. We're taking notes, blah, blah, blah. Your subconscious crushes your conscious mind. It's 1,000 times more powerful. If you go read this, the stories about the power of the subconscious. And if you doubt it, how many people have ever ended up in your driveway, at home, in your car, and you never intended to go there? You meant to go to the grocery store. How? So your subconscious, without you being conscious at all, right? Because if you were conscious of where you were trying to go, you would have gone there. But your subconscious hit the brake, the gas, went through the traffic lights, didn't have an accident, did 52 million, put on your lipstick, was on the cell phone. I mean, did all these different things. Your subconscious did all that without your conscious permission. How in the world does that happen? Well, it looks in the story you tell yourself about yourself, that's subconscious. And when you change that thing, I'm telling you, life gets easy. It's just amazing, but you got to be willing to change that foundation. And so some of you are hearing me today. Are you going to go do something about it, though? Will you take the time? And if you're not, what are you here for? I mean, why take, you know what I mean? And it don't prove everything, okay? Even if it's not the business, health, your finances, your relationships. I mean, do any of us want a better relationship? More intimacy, more trips, more travel, more money, more freedom. You know, help your kids have more in life. I mean, it's who you are that matters. So you got to change the story. So you write this new story. And I'll tell you the last thing. They did this. They had this group of astronauts. And they did this study. And they wanted to see the effect of weightlessness in space. Or disorientation, excuse me, in space. And so their mechanical way of doing it is, they got some goggles and they put them on these astronauts and it flipped everything upside down. So literally, it just reversed everything. And they had to leave them on. They couldn't take them off. And after 24 days, I may be off by a day or two, but after about 24 days, without exception, within a 2 or 3 day time period, every one of the astronauts, everything flipped right side up. Isn't that crazy? Now, nobody could explain how it happened. They didn't understand it fully. But the subconscious figured it all out. And as far as that astronaut was concerned, everything looked right side up. And it literally flipped in their mind. Now, they took the goggles off, everything adjusted, and then they did the process again. And this time, they went through it for 14 days and then took the goggles off and put them back on. Well, it took another 24 days to reprogram the neural pathways to see the world right side up again. So it required the repetition and the consistency to create that new story. Is everybody with me? So what I'm telling you is, you got to own this thing. I mean, you got to read it to yourself every morning, post it on the mirror, read it at night. It's not that big a deal. My kids all have it memorized. Twice a week or something, I'll go in the room and say, hey, they'll all fill it in. I, Audrey Shaw, am a person. I just started by saying it and having them fill in word here and there until they got the whole thing down. Right? And I don't know what impact it'll have. I mean, they're not saying it emotionally, but it's kind of emotional because I go, I am a person of, you know, it's worth a chance, right? I know it'll work for us personally, though. What's your story? And there's got to be some things in your life you say, I want to get better at. I want to change. I want to get better. And if you have a growth mindset, you don't mind saying, I'm not who I'm capable of being. So many people are desperate to hold on to their current identity because they feel if they go to something greater or they admit that it's admitting that who they are right now isn't all that good. Is everybody with? That doesn't make sense. Who cares? We all want to get better. But that's why I do want you to go read that book. So, any questions on that? I think it's the most important thing. It's more important than anything else we could talk about. Because when you get the belief right and the mindset right, you know what starts happening? All this stuff, like all of a sudden it clicked. This clicks. You go, I got it. And all these pieces start coming together that didn't exist before. You see things in a different way, but it's the story that matters. Right? I mean, people, you know, and it doesn't matter whether it's weight or whatever it is. You see people that just, they own a certain identity. All of that can change when the belief changes. Yes?
So Dennis Waitley always says that belief in self-confidence always precedes performance, but a lot of times we get our belief from our performances, whether they're good or bad. So how do you create belief? Is that what you're saying with the story? Is that's the way to create belief before performance comes?
Yeah, they're stepping stones. You know, it's like the old man that sits in front of the fire and says, hey, give me heat and I'll give you wood. I ain't going to work, you know. And belief always, not always. I mean, you can do activities and lack belief and have some successes, and then it makes it a little easier to believe. So they work hand in hand. I mean, it's not exclusively one or the other. But the thing is, you're never going to go from here to here. Like if the quality and income and everything in your life, if you say, okay, I rate it, if I put all these areas together, health and my relationships, my finances, the money I have in the bank, the kind of car I want to be driving, all that stuff that you write on your dream board, and you say right now I'm at 3 or 4 and I want to be 10, you're never going to get to 10 without belief. That's too big of a leap. Now, you might be a little belief, and then you get a result, and you go to 4, and now you can believe at 6. But just speed the whole process up is my point. Is it, sure, that may be true, that success starts to create belief, and then the person never goes through a more mechanical way that we're talking about of just speed the process up. But why not speed it up? Right? I mean, if you can speed it up, if you change the whole story, Trump, you know, can lose his money and go get it back. It's the reason why people can lose everything and get it back. And they can just do it over and over again like that. And somebody will blame, they'll say, oh, well, it's just their contacts. It's their relationships. That's crap. You could dump them in a city in the middle of nowhere, make them make all their relationships all over again, and the guy will be a millionaire because he has a millionaire mindset. It's just the way he's going to be, period. And they can go do it within 3 or 4 years. Every single time, maybe in a year, maybe in 8 months, I mean, whatever. They can create it again. It's a belief they have about themselves. And it's a reason why so often people earn what their parents earn. I mean, they fall into that same category because that's the environment they came to expect of themselves, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, there's mountains of study about this stuff. Just speed it up. That's what I'm saying. Just speed it up. Right? Any other questions? Okay, I got to leave. Yes. You know, I don't talk about it. It has, for me, it's been created because when I was frustrated before MidOcean bought, I spent a bunch of time working on that. Chris has got stuff that is awesome on that front, but she's asking about neuroplasticity and all that stuff. Well, you know, that's all that stuff. But you know what that boils down to? It boils down to things like habits, routines.
That's what you've just been saying.
Well, go to bridgethegaptoday.com. bridgethegaptoday.com. Watch those three videos. If you have any interest, don't buy it there because it's like $500. Just email me personally and I'll give you a separate link. But I would encourage you, the videos are good. Go to bridgethegaptoday.com and watch those three videos. It is a very detailed explanation of what I'm talking about. And then there is a system that creates habits and routines and all that that naturally will create the new neural pathways if you follow the process.
But I think we need it in Legal Shield, that we're not getting it.
Well, if we do this, we can have lots of other things in Legal Shield. I'm telling you, if you get this, let's go explode recruiting again, and you'll be amazed about the number of things that can happen. Yeah.
You said watch it in email. You went to
email. Patrick@iwillinc.com. IWILLINC.com. What's that? The flight got backed up to 320, by the way.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. What's that? Patrick@iwillinc.com. George, is it still, I mean, events is still 320? 350, so we're good now. Okay, so we'll wrap up anyway, though. We're done. Last couple questions. All right, I know you guys have recognition, which is a big part of the business. Don't move. Listen, these people... This is what the business is about. And you talk about some of these core activities. It's you being here for these folks that are paying the price. They're doing the deal. So I'll sit in the front row as long as I can. That's awesome. And I'm going to turn it over. I appreciate being here. Appreciate you guys. You guys. Hey, baby.